may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here today on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this day after Independence Day, and as people are calling it, Independence Day weekend. And hope you'll be able to join in our conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you for giving us such a wonderful day today. Thank you for yesterday, the day we could celebrate the independence of our country. And Lord, as we think of the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy as Americans, thanks to this country that you've given to us and on the basis of those that have fought and given their lives even to make it possible, we just thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom today, that we can be on the radio, that we can use this medium of communication, to have the freedom of speech, the freedom of belief, freedom of religion in this country, that we can talk about the Word of God, and we can talk about what's happening in the world compared to your Word. Bless the program today for your glory, and use it, Lord, we pray, to point somebody that's searching to Jesus Christ, that they might know him as their personal Lord and Savior before it's too late. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you had a good 4th of July Independence Day celebration yesterday, and we had a good time, nice relaxing afternoon, and just hopefully you were able to get out with family and friends like we did, and just celebrate the freedoms that we enjoy. And in America, we have a unique situation here, and I appreciate Pastor Lutz in the previous program talking about some of our freedoms and things, and thank God for that. But what I wanted to get at today is I talk about current events in light of God's Word a lot here on this program, as well as, of course, your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. If you've got a question, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open right now. And I want to start out today. I have been watching and for some time, I've been talking on the radio about the situation in the Middle East. And if you have been watching much of that here recently, it's just in the course of this past week, really every day, it seems like every hour, the situation over there is changing. And basically what has happened in Egypt is that the Egyptian military has deposed President Morsi, and he has joined the previous deposed president of Egypt, Mubarak, I guess, in a military prison. And they have set up an interim president, or interim ruler, I guess, who is the head of the Egyptian Supreme Court. And they're supposedly going to get around to some democratic elections here some point in the future, don't know when. But the effects of this have been reverberating around through the region and indeed around the world. And this is where I'm going to with this today. The Muslim Brotherhood, who had basically been responsible for Morsi coming into power. Morsi was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood is one of the older Islamist groups in the Middle East, started in Egypt and a number of decades ago. But they have vowed that they are not going to go quietly into the night here. They are trying to set up base in the Sinai Peninsula, and this is what's important. And we see that the Muslim Brotherhood and the Morsi government in Egypt were waging war on Christians, and we see also that they had made some threatening statements against Israel, but also some of the Islamists had become kind of upset that the Morsi government had not gone after Israel, despite some initial threats and bluster, but largely because of our aid to the Egyptian military and some other things going on, they had not gone after Israel as yet, probably partly to their trying to still gain their security there in Egypt. But, of course, all that went out the window this past weekend, or past week, as the Egyptian military deposed Morsi, and we now see that the Muslim Brotherhood leaders are being arrested across the country, and in addition to Morsi and some of his cabinet, different people. But here's the problem. The real crisis, as far as we're concerned as Bible-believing Christians and being concerned about Bible prophecy and concerned about the nation of Israel, the emphasis for us really is kind of shifting into the Sinai Peninsula, and that's that portion of land that that Israel briefly controlled and then gave back to Egypt in their recent history. But the Egyptian and Israeli armies on Friday, which would have actually happened, I think, while we were asleep, but because they're about 6 or 7 hours, I believe, ahead of us, I think 6 hours ahead of us right now in the Sinai. But the Egyptian-Israeli armies today raised their alert levels on either side of the Sinai border. And the reason they elevated their alert levels is because the Muslim Brotherhood has declared the Sinai to be the center of its revolt and its revenge against the Egyptian army for the ouster of Mohamed Morsi as president this past Wednesday. Now, what they did is a number of Islamist attacks have occurred here just in the last day or so against the Egyptian army and actually against Israel. And a lot of this isn't making it into the news right now. The Sinai border crossings to the Gaza Strip in Israel have been closed, and because of the emergency situation there, Israel has actually imposed a blackout on news from the region, and they have boosted the number of the Israeli Defense Force units standing along the Egyptian border there. And also, there's three underground passages that go under the Sinai, or from the Sinai to the mainland, under the Suez Canal. And the Suez Canal is important because about a third of the world's oil supplies from the Persian Gulf, where Iran is creating mischief, they come out of the Persian Gulf, they come around the bottom of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, and they come up through the Red Sea, and they pass through the Suez Canal on their way to the Mediterranean. About a third of the world's oil supplies, as well as a great deal of cargo and other things, go through the Suez Canal to the Mediterranean and Europe. And there's three underground passages that the Egyptian Third Army has deployed to secure, so that presumably so that nobody can use them to try and blow the passage or something, cause disruption on the Suez Canal. They've also instituted a number of things along the Suez Canal, including Patriot missile systems, trying to guard against terrorist attack on the cargo and oil shipping and such going through the Suez Canal. And see, the reason they're doing this is because the Muslim Brotherhood has established a war council in the Sinai, and their purpose is to mount a rebellion against the Egyptian army and the provisional Egyptian government with the radical Palestinian. I would actually call them actually more fundamentalist Palestinians, because they're more fundamentalist Muslim Islamists, the Palestinian Hamas and the Jihad Islami, as well as a variety of Al-Qaeda-linked Salafist groups in the Gaza Strip and the Sinai. And their strategy is kind of twofold. One is attacking and harassing Egypt, and the other attacking Israel. And so they want to turn the Sinai Peninsula into a base for revolting against the Egyptians, our military and provisional government, and attacking Israel. And they're counting on the army in Egypt having too much going on, trying to maintain and restore and maintain security in the, you know, the major cities like Cairo and Alexandria, and across the Nile Delta to be able to spend much time working in the Sinai. And that's an area where the Egyptian military was having problems restraining some of these various Islamist groups in the past year or so anyways. And they're hoping that by doing this, they can demonstrate the military is incapable and incompetent of defending the Western shipping in the canal and the Gulf of Suez, as well as preventing attacks on Israel. And so they're hoping that this new Sinai War Council that's been set up by Morsi's followers are going to be able to achieve the goal of bringing the Muslim Brotherhood and these various groups back into power in Egypt. And they started Thursday night, our 4th of July, by firing a couple of Grad rockets at Eilat in southern Israel. They exploded harmlessly outside of the town. But the military, of course, is very concerned, placed on high alert. And they also struck again earlier today with a multiple attack against the Egyptian military, firing rocket-propelled grenades, mortars, heavy machine guns at Egyptian military headquarters in northern Rafah and the El Arish airport region, and as well as a number of other military and border guard facilities. And there's suggestion, there's been wave after wave of gunmen shooting heavy machine guns and rocket launchers mounted on minivans and such, racing around these areas, and the Egyptian army's been trying to get that all under control. Now, all that good news so that I can talk about a little bit of Bible prophecy here that we need to be concerned and we need to be aware of that could be potentially, I'm not going to say that it is, but it could be potentially on the verge of being fulfilled in that area of the world. And if you look at some of this in Ezekiel chapter 29, the Bible says, starting in verse number 8, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword against thee, and cut off man and beast out of thee, and the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Behold, therefore I am against thee, and against thy rivers. I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the Tower of Sein even unto the border of Ethiopia. No foot of man shall pass through it, neither shall nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years. And will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. Yet thus saith the Lord, at the end of 40 years I will gather the Egyptians from the people whither they were scattered. And I will bring again the captivity of Egypt, and will cause them to return into the land of Pathros, into the land of their habitation. They shall be there a base kingdom." And it goes on to talk a little bit more about that, but I wanted to read that, and then I wanted to go over to Isaiah chapter 19, and it talks about in Isaiah chapter 19, the burden of Egypt. "Behold, the Lord cometh, or rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set..." Now, notice what he says here, and think about what's happening in Egypt today. "And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up." And be talking about the Nile River there, I believe. "And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up, the reeds and flags shall wither. And it goes on to talk about this destruction and things happening in Egypt. And then it makes this curious statement a little further down. As we come into verse number 16, it says, "In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt." The land of Judah, that would be Israel today. Everyone that maketh mention there shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. And so we have the land of Judah being a terror unto Egypt. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to try and just touch on something. I actually wrote a booklet called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, and you can Google that, or you can go to our website, live.maplenoll.com, or .us, I'm sorry, live.maplenoll.us, and I've got a link to it. It's available as an ebook online for 99 cents, actually, and that goes to help keep this program on the air. Certainly appreciate your help there and your prayers for us. But what I'm getting at here is there's some prophecies here in Ezekiel and Isaiah that really have never been completely fulfilled. For instance, Egypt has never been a country that has been abandoned and the Egyptian people forced to live outside of the country as refugees for 40 years. And there's a good principle in understanding Bible prophecy. If something has not been fulfilled as it's laid out in the scriptures yet, then it's yet future, and that makes sense as it's prophecy. And also some of the things that we saw there about Egypt trembling because of Judah and some of this. But here's my thought here on this, and tie this up with the stories that I was recounting about the Egyptian civil war and the breakdown there and the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood and a variety of Islamist groups trying to gain control of the Sinai to attack both the Egyptian military and Israel. There is a very good amount of evidence in the Bible that in the latter days, Israel is going to be surrounded by enemies that will include Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, and what would make up modern-day Jordan today, and that these areas would be destroyed. And indeed, secular sources are talking about how with the difficulties in Syria and the difficulties in Egypt and the threat of Jordan succumbing to the Arab Spring movements and the monarchy there in Jordan being deposed and Islamist taking power there, and also the things with Lebanon and Hezbollah and the Gaza Strip and all these areas that are in the Bible. Read Psalm 83 is a good teaching on this, but Israel's being surrounded by a ring of enemies, and they're being hemmed in. Indeed, you find that there's indications that there will be a war that takes place involving those very countries, and in that battle, of course, we see in various parts of the scriptures, in, for instance, Isaiah chapter 17, I believe it is. Yeah, chapter 17, we see the destruction of Syria and then the destruction dealing with the Lebanon and Jordan and the Gaza Strip, and all are detailed elsewhere. And then as I read in Isaiah 19 and Ezekiel 29, we saw the destruction of Egypt. And let me go back to Ezekiel 29 here again. And this song is very interesting, Ezekiel 29. The Bible says here that the land of Egypt will be desolate and waste. And they shall know that I am the Lord, because I said, the river is mine, I've made it. And then the next verse says, God says that he'll make them Egypt utterly waste and desolate from the Tower of Sain even unto the border of Ethiopia. And Ethiopia, of course, was everything above the upper falls of the River Nile at this time. And the Tower of Sain, there's the Aswan Dam that's there. And Sain and Aswan are basically referring to the same place. And there was no tower there when this was written But there is a tower there today. It's the Aswan Dam, which is a very, very large man-made structure. And remember in Ezekiel 19, it says that Israel or land of Judah would make Egypt to shake and to be in fear. And so we see this happening, and we see the potential that with a nuclear strike against the Aswan Dam, for instance, if Egypt and Syria and some of these other Gaza Strip and all came against Israel, and Israel was attacked with weapons of mass destruction, they would retaliate, and they could take out that dam. It's an earthen dam, and a couple of say 100 megaton nuclear bombs burrowing into the surface of the dam could blow that dam, and of course a lot of the radioactive fallout would stick to the clay. And as that wall of water races down the Nile Valley, and 90-95% of the Egyptian population lives in the Nile, and within a few hours it would reach Cairo and reach out and spread that radioactive waste across the Nile Delta, and you could have a good case for the place being uninhabited for 40 years. And so we have a very real potential of seeing this taking place, and it's something that as Christians we ought to watch and be aware of. Of course, the Bible tells us that the nation of Egypt will be returned in Isaiah chapter 18, and it also concludes with Egypt, Assyria, and Israel living in peace with each other. But that, I believe, will be during the millennial reign of Christ. A lot of things have to take place before then. And this also is a battle that will take place before, I believe, the Ezekiel 38 battle, which ironically, or I shouldn't say ironically, coincidentally, does not include any of these countries that I've been talking about, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, and modern-day Jordan. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got a few minutes left. We do have a caller calling in, and we have Nancy in Euclid calling in. Nancy, welcome to Late Night Live. Or I'm sorry, Live with Pastor Al. Late Night Live is our Sunday night program.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor Al, for taking my call. And I frequently think of, as I know all good Christians do, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. How much of a chance do you think that the righteous remnant, you know, the Christians, the truly committed Christians, have for turning this country around when the majority of Christians are just living such an immoral, unbiblical life? I mean, like,
that's a very good question.
Just got
a couple of minutes, so let me just interject real quick there. I agree with you, and we know that we have the ability as Christians to pray, and prayer changes things. God listens to prayers of believers, but we also have to keep things in light of, you know, Bible prophecy, and we do know that the Lord is returning, you know, for the believers to be caught out of the world, and I believe it's probably sooner than we might think. I might be exploring that a little bit more in some later programs, but I think that we ought to be humbling ourselves and turning to God and praying for ourselves and for our country and asking, you know, hopefully God can bring a little revival to our country. I mean, one good thing, the Ohio budget was signed into law by the governor, and some of the things from the heartbeat bill that failed were incorporated in, you know, protecting the rights of the unborn into the Ohio budget. And so we see a few victories here and there. Even though we see, you know, the losses in the area of defense of marriage and things with same-sex marriage. Unfortunately, about out of time here right now, we can pray and hopefully make a difference. But we do see the Bible, the things I was talking about in Isaiah and Ezekiel about coming battles in the Middle East. We know the United States is going to decrease from the world scene. It will not be the world power that it is today during the tribulation. So we pray and be busy reaching people with the gospel and people that are listening. You know, we don't need to go through the tribulation. We can trust Christ as our Savior today, and we can be taken out of the world and to be with the Lord in heaven during these events of the tribulation. But we need to be busy. The harvest is almost past, I think. We're out of time. Thanks for the call. And again, happy Independence Day to everybody. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or